Hallelujah. Well, praise God. How great our God is. Amen. How many believe He's great? Amen. He's great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have y'all home. Amen. Sing the power down. Amen. Praise God. Y'all may be seated. Well, glory. Everybody happy? Everybody got the joy of the Lord? Praise the Lord. If the devil can't get your joy, he can't get your goods. Amen. Say, I've got the joy. Well, praise God. Good to see y'all tonight. Amen. I thought this was spring break, but this was not spring break for me. It was spring break for them. So people say, I didn't know you was going to be here. Well, my daughter has spring break next week. Well, Kayla had it this week, but Kayla's already went back to Brownwood. So anyway, so since my daughter went back to Brownwood and I got my dates mixed up, I get to be here. Praise the Lord. So ushers, would y'all come? Amen. And Sunday morning is Easter. Amen. Y'all are going to do y'all's best to compel them to come in, aren't you? Amen. I tell you what, God's been good this week. Monday I felt like, man, this has been a trying day. The Lord spoke to me. Well, you didn't spend as much time as you used to spend with me. So Tuesday morning, I spent a lot of time with the Lord. And this morning, I spent all the morning with the Lord. I tell you what, the Lord started talking to me Tuesday morning. And I tell you what, He just blessed me good. Amen. I don't know if I'm going to get to preach it Sunday morning or not, since it's Easter, but I have no idea. But God's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, what the Lord has taken me through is totally, well, I'll let y'all take off in just a minute. It's totally transformed my mind. How many are ready to get your mind transformed? I mean, it's like He's telling me, do you want what you want? If you want what you want, you don't get it by staying the same. And you're going to have to get on the ball and do some changing right here, repenting. Repenting is a change of thinking. And I started, you know, I'll just tell you one thing. The Lord spoke to me Tuesday morning. And He said, and I have fought with this scripture for a long time. And remember when they went to Jesus and called Him good master? And He said, there's no, not one good except God. Man, I had a hard time questioning that. The Lord spoke to me and told me the reason He told them there's no, not one good is because for there to be good, there has to be bad. So if there has to be good, there has to be bad. That's good and evil. So they're eating the tree of good knowledge of good and evil. And that's going to produce death. And Jesus says, I am life. So in essence, don't even worry about good. Don't even worry about bad. Just get a hold of life. When you get a hold of life, those things take care of itself. All you have to do is, well, this is bad. I don't know. It don't make any difference. Just get a hold of God. When you get a hold of God, you got life. Lord, God, you know, people spend their time, is this good, this bad? Don't even worry about it. That's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and it produced death in them. How many wants death? None of them wants death. Amen. So Jesus was wanting them to get out of judging. He was telling them, don't even look at me as good, because if you call me good, you're calling somebody else. So He was getting them out of that to get their eyes on life. Amen. So I want to encourage you, Jesus is life. His words are life. Amen. You fight so many times, people are fighting sin. Quit fighting sin. Fight the fight of faith. Amen. Get life. Say life. Amen. So anyway, God's retraining my mind. Close your eyes and realize this world don't mean a thing. It's all going to pass away. Don't mean a thing. Oh, there's temporal truth, but I want to live in the eternal truth, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Well, sorry I made y'all stand. I'm not really sorry. I apologize for it, but this offering goes to support the church. I promise you God will bless you. Amen. Y'all ready to be blessed? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, to bless them. Bless, Father God, the giver, as well as receiver. I thank you, Father God, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches of glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give a good hand. Amen. We appreciate it. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right.
Well, do you remember what we talked about last Wednesday night? Say it again. Presence of God. Where's my example? I'm going to hit that one again. I think that's good. You can't sneak out. Come on. Come on. I felt like God gave me that as an example. And I'm going to, in the review, I'm going to do that again. Do you remember what I said about her? Any part of it at all? Okay, I knew a woman would catch that part if nothing else. They like that romantic thing anyway. And that's good. I said about Connie, this is Connie. I don't think you can separate Connie from her presence. You can't take a piece of Connie. Let me say it this way. I would look the fool if I went to Connie and I'd say, I would like your hand of healing. I don't want any other part of you. I just want healing. I don't want any other part of you. I just want you to cook me a pot of beans. I don't want to hear any back talk. I don't want to hear any, I don't want your whining. I don't want, just give me beans. And yet, too many times, that's the way we treat God. We don't understand that God cannot separate himself from anything. He is all in all. He is everything. We, oh God, I feel your presence. Well, you should have. You should have walked in. You should have walked out. You've been feeling the presence all the time. He has never left this earth. He has never, his presence has never been lifted. Well, I should say that with tongue in cheek. I believe in my heart that one time his presence was lifted and Noah had to get in a boat. He got fed up with all the evil, said, I can't look on evil. I've got to change things. His presence was lifted, and the earth nearly was destroyed. Now, going back to her, I felt like God told me, look at her and tell me what part she didn't come in with. I'm going to say this in enough ways to where we can remember. I said that she's the only presence that when she leaves the room can be full and I get lonely. And that's not an original quote. Ronald Reagan said that about his wife. And I loved it and I used it several times. She's the only presence that I know of that when she walks out of a room, there could be 1,000 people there and I become lonely. How much more should that be with God? If we expect God not to be here, what in the world are we doing here? Let's find out where he's at and go there. But see, I don't, and I told you that you can't leave God's presence. He's light. Let's just use that for an example. That room is the only place I can go to get out of light, and then when I get there, he's still there hounding me about getting back in the light. I hate to use that word about God, but he's bugged me before. Surely he has you. All right. That didn't take too long, did it? Thank you. Let's, with that in mind, that's not the total review, but let's pray and make sure God's in every bit of this. Amen? Father, we do yield to your presence. In your presence, we understand the will, the life change, the mind change. That's what we came here tonight. We didn't come here so that I could get a thrill out of talking and they could get a thrill out of seeing me talk. We came here to touch your heart and you touch ours. Let our minds be altered with your very breath. As we open our minds to your presence, you change us. That's what we want. We give you praise and thanks in advance that this is done because we've asked you. It is what you want. So now we're in agreement with you, and you will have your way in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. What else is there? But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. I didn't write that. God wrote that on my heart one time, and I won't get away from it. You sang in your song tonight, the first one. I will remind you. You traded. What did you trade? List them. What were you going to trade for? Not what were you going to trade for. What were you going to give God? Y'all didn't remember very long. Man, sorrow, shame, sickness, all of those things you were going to give. And what were you going to get in return? Why were you going to get the joy of the Lord? It didn't leave. Why were you going to get it? You weren't going to get it. You were going to get to see God get happy. You understand what I'm saying? It says, your song said this. I'm trading my sorrow for the joy of the Lord. You're going to make God happy by giving him your sorrows. Now, you have children, you have a spouse, you understand what I'm... If they're not happy, how do you feel? Well, to the man that pleases God. You make him happy, you're going to get joy. Amen? So all we've got to lose is sorrow and shame and sickness. God's joy was there the whole time. It never went because he is there. We just have to give him this before we get. Now, he's the worst trader in the world. You know that? God is the absolute worst trader in the world. He takes the garbage and he gives the good. That's our God. I want to make him happy. Let's take advantage of the trading system. One other question for you before we get started. We sang in the second song. You said his name is above all names. And as I was singing that, God said, oh, really? Which puts the most fear in you, cancer or the name of the Lord? I didn't write down cancer. I mean fear. I said respect. Which do you respect the most, the name of your Lord or the name of cancer? Really? So which one sends the shivers up and down our spines? Come on, just a little check. I believe God gives me these little things so I can share them with you. It's a little off the subject, but it's right on at the same time. All right, then let's go forward. God's presence, number two. It's a real fancy title, isn't it? God is here right now. His presence is here. You don't ask him for his presence and not get all of him. Too many times we want to pick and choose what we want out of God instead of understanding that God cannot be the Savior without being the healer. He cannot be the healer without being the provider. You have to take him in total. Pastor just talked about it. See, you want to go to him, we want to go to him, and he starts coming back at us. That's what true communication, what true communion is. It's fellowshipping, two fellows in one ship. It's eating together, it's sharing. And the cool part is if we will just give God time, he will talk. And he'll talk to me. Do you understand? He talks a lot. We just don't listen a lot. He communicates a lot. We just won't slow enough down enough to hear. Let me say it another way. I just feel like I need to say this. God is here right now. He's wherever you are. Let me tell you how much this message has already impacted me. Ever since last Wednesday night, I've nearly stopped praying. Because every time I go and start asking for something, he reminds me I'm already here. And if I'm already here, what do I need to ask for? I just need to enjoy, for the lack of terminology, the benefits that are already here. I thought about praying for somebody. You said, I'm hurting. Nobody. She said, could you pray for this? God said, why? Why are you going to ask me to heal? I've already done it. You've heard that before. My presence. So I just said the presence of God has healed you. It hasn't got anything to do with my power, my names, my understanding, my beautiful prayers. And that's what we need to understand is there's no power in the way we pray. It's the name we call. And if I can understand that the name is in the presence is not in the name, I've got it made. He's here. He's not here in pieces. When he's here, he hears and you hear. That's the way two people in one area operate. In one way or another, you're communicating with me and I'm communicating. Even though you're not saying anything, we're communicating. If I'm listening, see, there's a person back there agreeing. I notice she's agreeing with that. It's communication. That's the real, once you boil down the benefits, the provisions, the power, the healing, the salvation, everything that God is, the best part is communication. Nothing makes you feel more privileged than having God speak to you. Or nothing should make you feel better. Man, you go, God spoke. Whoa. And it's so good that you want to, let's do that again. Let's do that again. And God is the one that's going to keep changing things as you do it. One time I preached in a service, and after the service, I'd stand up, and I promise you, as God is my witness, I don't know what happened, but as I started just looking, people started falling down. I mean, everybody in the church went down on the floor. Never seen that happen before. I knew God was doing something, but I don't know what he's doing. Of course, what's the first thing we want to do? We don't take credit for that. Now, we wouldn't say that. How do I know I want to take credit for that? Because I analyzed the situation and I plan to do it again next Sunday. Let's see, what did I do to cause that? And God said, nothing. And so I said, all right, well, that takes care of that. Whatever I did last Sunday, I'm not going to do this Sunday. Whatever God wants to do, He'll do. We're privileged to have such a father, such a husband, that He doesn't get stale and He won't allow us to get stale. I can be His bride for the next 1,000 years, and every day will be a bright new day and exciting. Amen? That's the presence that I'm in. That's the presence I want to stay in. There's a couple of things I want you to remember. One, a simple definition of God is face, our presence, our, what was another word? Countenance, forefront, okay? His appearance. He's a person. Sometimes we lose the fact that we're created in His likeness and image. So I don't need to try to dream up what God might look like. And we also need to remember that the enemy is created in God's likeness and image. And so ain't no red-tailed thing with horns going to come up and talk to you. It's going to be something in the image, the replica of God. What does the devil's voice sound like? God's voice. Now, y'all don't like that, but I don't care. Remember my definition of the presence of the enemy? It's the exact opposite of the presence of God. That's what the dictionary says. It's hard for you and I to understand. The example I gave you was those little old puzzles with the wires where you put your hand in it and your hand comes out at the top and you can see that. But if you can see the underside, it's still the reverse image of your hand. That's the presence of the enemy. It's the reverse image of God. Well, that doesn't mean He doesn't look like God. It means you need to be smart enough to understand the difference between the true image and the likeness, the voice. God's presence doesn't come in. He is. He can't just come to save. He can't just come to save. Man, I wish we could get that down. He can't just come to heal. You can ask for healing, and He's not going to listen to you. He can't listen to Him being restricted. You're going to get all of Him if you ask for any of it. And so when He touches a dis-ease, He's also going to touch a malady. He's going to touch guilt and shame. He's going to heal the whole picture. He's going to touch debt, and He's going to do that, some of it miraculously, and a lot of it through touching your mind. When Jesus said, come, let us reason together, He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, which means the Father says, come, let us reason together. My dad used to tell me, come in the office. I want to talk to you for a minute. I'm going to see how smart you are. I'm going to say something. If you agree with it, you're smart. Now, that's the way God is. He doesn't say that outright, but when we finally get weigh it all down, that's exactly what He's saying. God's presence is enjoyed by those that believe, those that have ears to hear and eyes to see. All I need to do is acknowledge that every place I go and everything that I do, the presence of God is protecting me and affecting those around. And I don't have to perform, and I don't have to be a great orator. I don't even have to be a great prayer. I never will forget my dad who was he just taught. That's all he could teach was faith. Maybe I'm the same way. I don't know. But he didn't believe in doctors. He didn't believe in lawyers. He didn't believe in Indian chiefs. He believed in God. And one day, down on the bayfront in Corpus, my son and daughter were probably the age of these grandkids right now. Oh, that's a long time. Anyway, and he got a splitting headache. One of those things that looks more like a stroke than a headache. I mean, he couldn't hardly stand it. Put his head in his hands and he was sitting down there. And he said, Stan, could you pray for me? And I knew Dad had one serious problem. He was looking for somebody that could have an eloquent prayer. He felt like the prettier the prayer, the stronger the prayer. That's the way the Holy Spirit spoke to me right at that minute. And I said, Jason, that's right, come here. Your grandpa has a headache. Pray for him. And my dad looked at me like, what are you doing? And those two little rugrats, they came over there, and they laid hands on him and didn't say a word. They didn't say one word. They went, took off playing. They were busy. And instantly the headache went away. Instantly. I learned something. My dad learned something. And the kids learned something. That's the presence of God. Our mind was healed. His head was healed. The kiddos said, whoa, that's good. Everybody's touched. That's God. All right. I want to try to build a picture. I'm still get to get to all the scriptures that I want to read to you. But tonight I'm going to read some more. I'm going to start in Genesis 1:1-4. Let me rehearse for a moment the picture that I want to build for you and prove in the Scripture. When God created the earth, He did it with His presence. He moved on the face of the deep. And when He showed up, everything was divided and set in order. I'm going to cut short. I mean, light was divided from darkness. The reason I'm going to bring this up is because that's who He is and that's who He is to us. Our darkness goes away with His presence. If we're overcome with a flood of whatever, that flood is held back and we're put on dry ground with His presence. He spoke. He breathed. He spoke. And when He spoke, it happened. Okay? He spoke, "I think I've done enough. I need somebody to maintain what I've already begun, which is perfection. And so I'll pick up this thing that I've now purified called dirt." We're not dirt. It was pure stuff. What He just cleansed, it was, don't call anything I've made unclean. And He made man in His likeness and image. You've got to get that down in your spirit, because the enemy spends all his time telling you you're crud, and God spends His time convincing you you're in His likeness and image. And then He walked up and He said, "Now I'm going to give them how I recreated or created this whole earth. I am going to breathe that into them." It wasn't just breath. It was the thing that when exhaled, changes things. When I speak to a mountain, it is not my breath. It is the breath of God. And if I keep breathing in His presence, I keep breathing out the breath of God, the Word of God. Now, this is a summary, by the way. I hope we get past the summary. For some reason, we made a wrong choice. And something hit me today that was exciting. And I'll probably repeat this to you, because you better remember twice than once when heard. How much detail? Not very much detail. We committed sin. There's only one sin can be committed, and that's against God. You can't sin against man, only against God. When He walks out, and they're hiding, He says, "Where are you?" I've never seen that before. I've seen it, but I've never, once again, the presence revealed. He is calling at that moment for somebody that has betrayed Him, because He already feels lonely. He's saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" He's never stopped doing that. The point, Stan, the point is that He's drawing us back to where we left. He doesn't want us saved. He wants us back to where we left. What does that mean? That means full of Him, full of His voice, full of His air, full of His breath, full of His... Do you think a God is timid? Do you think He lacks confidence? Don't know if I'll cover that all tonight, but I'm going to show you this in Scripture. You should already be excited and convicted and set free all at the same time. Genesis 1:1-4. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now you know that it was from the hand of God, the perfected hand of God, where the dirt came that you were made from. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the presence of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Why? Because it still had to be held intact, even when it's out of order. That's why we know the presence of God, even unsaved. The presence of God moves on us to draw us back, or draw us first time, depends on who you are, where you are, back in. Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In one of the songs you just sang, Youth said that what He says is eternal. Right? So when He moves on a place like He's right here, right now, those that are in darkness, they're hearing, "Let there be light." If you have a dark area in your life, what you're hearing from the Spirit of God is still the same phrase, "Let there be light, let there be light." You've known of people that stand white-knuckled under conviction in the center of church and just wouldn't let go. And that's God Himself saying, "Let there be light. Let me run off the darkness." Right? It happened to some of us, hadn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. That's His job, dividing light from darkness and saying, "Now it's good." It's a good start. Genesis 1:31, He repeats it. And God saw everything that He had made. Did He make you? And He said, "Indeed, it is very good." Very good. Not just now, it's not just good. It's very good. when your enemy comes, in whatever form, you remember God said about you, very good. Okay? God's presence changes everything. When He arrives, or when you finally arrive at the fact that He's already been there forever, when He communicates, or you have now have ears to hear, darkness and void is driven out and is replaced with light and truth. When God recreates, it is perfect, pure, totally funded, and forever. Anybody in here being recreated? Then I'm going to say it to you again, those that know. When God recreates, it is perfect, pure, totally funded, forever. You know what totally funded means? Anything it takes, He's got. There's no limit to what He can do and what He has already done. Why don't you test Him? The Bible says in one place, test me. See what I can do. I'm going to show you something in Luke chapter 1, verse 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. An angel visited Mary and said, you're going to conceive. You remember that? Went into greater detail, but that was enough to blow her off her feet right there. And her response was, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? When you read the Bible, I did. No, yeah, I'm on 34. Thank you. That's verse 34. From now on, when you read the word know, it doesn't mean a handshake and howdy do. In the Bible, it does not mean a handshake and howdy do. Do your research and you'll figure that out. I do not know a man. In verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The same overshadow that changed the earth. The same, in other words, now we see twice the presence of God refers is also referred to as overshadowing. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now here's something else we see now. When God recreates, He moves upon us, and the birth of Jesus now occurs in us. The presence of God will make us fertile and produce. And fortunately, it doesn't produce our likeness and image. It produces God's likeness and image through us. That is that perfected one, the one that's already paid the price. Come on, amen. You can get excited about that. God's presence is here, but it's also given. You can't be in God's presence and not catch a little unless you don't even know you're in God's presence. And then you just think God hasn't recreated the senses that you need. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Now we know one other thing. We're perfect, we're pure, we're cleansed, we're funded, we're in total agreement with God. And now we have to accept the fact that we have dominion. Now this is a tough one. This is a command of God. His presence commands us to have dominion. Well, who do I have dominion over? Ooh, let's start right here. If I don't start taking dominion over me, I don't have the right to take dominion over anything else. Come on. If I can't take me out behind the woodshed and work me over some, then I shouldn't be volunteering to do anybody else. In fact, I should be the biggest critic of me. Critic means I consider my ways. It doesn't mean I criticize my ways. I consider my ways, and when God says, He doesn't say, you rat. He says, you very good person. I'm glad you heard. Change. And He helps. He doesn't just point. He helps. Then He says, dominion. Does anybody here know what dominion is? Domination? I wouldn't have made that the first step, but you're right. There has to be a domain for there to be a dominion. And I must dominate that domain. Where's my domain? Any place I'm at. Where's God's domain? See, He's omnipresent, so it's everywhere. I am still restricted right here. So my domain is here. I'm proving that to you this moment. If you were to challenge me openly, God would give me the ability to have dominion over you challenging me openly. Because He's given me permission to do that. He's not given you permission to tear down. Does that sound weird? Sounds egotistical. Well, you take it any way you want. But I know who I am. I just told you who you are. You coming along? I'm the perfected one. I'm the holy one. Not in myself. But because His presence is making me holy. And where I don't want to be holy, it's still making me holy. Why? Because I've given Him permission to do that. I want Him to boil out the dross. I want him to. It's great. When you see crud floating down the stream, no longer part of you, you go, whoop, this is good. Genesis 1:28. He commanded them to have dominion, and then he blessed them with dominion. He blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. You know what's most irritating to me? You're bombarded on a daily basis by the world overtaking you. How do you know that? Well, we're going to run short of oil. We're going to run short of oxygen. We're going to run short of heat. We're going to run short of cold. We're going to run short of everything. No, come on, people. That's dumbed down talk. Do you think God did not plan this earth to last just until the day he came? Do you think he's short-sighted enough to fall short someplace? Come on. Let's give God the benefit of the doubt instead of always being in doubt. We've had one of the worst winters in the world north of here, and all we can hear about is global warming. The only person that's warming this globe is Gore. We need to shut his mouth up and maybe won't hear that nonsense anymore. Where's the preachers that are saying, hush, we have dominion, you don't have dominion. If I need that mountain of global warming to remove, I'll command it to be removed, cast into the sea, and it will no longer warm this earth. Don't come nigh my dwelling. I have blood on the doorpost, man. Can't touch me. Genesis 2, verse 7. I'm going to stick with Genesis because there's nothing better than Genesis, I promise you. Explains everything in Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. It wasn't the heartbeat. I'm going to tell you right now that nowhere else did God, nothing else was created by the hand of God. You realize that? There's not another animal or anything that was created by the hand of God. By the hand of God. Everything else was created by the presence and the word, but not the hand. You're special, man. You're special. And then not only that, you want to know why worship means move forward to kiss? Because he pulled the first kiss. Now he wants some back. When he says very good, it means I'm turned on over you. That's what it means, and I want a kiss. Let me see some worship here. Let's make out for a while. And then he did more than that. He breathed into me. He breathed into me. If the Bible's not personal to you, don't read it anymore. You're wasting your time. But God breathed. He put his lips on my lips and breathed into me dominion and power and blessing. And you know what? He hadn't stopped doing that yet. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you remember that scripture? That means what he did in Genesis, he's doing right now. By the way, the hand of God, the breath of God, the word of God can only create God. Are you hearing me? When God breathes on you, his presence is surrounding you. When he speaks to you in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, his whole goal is to make you in his likeness image more than you were yesterday. You're not going to end up some freak of nature because God is not a freak of nature, whatever that is. That doesn't seem to excite anybody. Okay, we'll look for something else. Here's the assignment that God gave in those verses in Genesis. Number one, be like me. Does God walk in dominion? Walk in power, authority, blessing? You think he walks sick? You think there's any void in him? You think there's shame? All I got to do is get in his presence, and man, the stuff has got to go. It'll be burned up like fire, if nothing else. Number two, assignment. Care for what I've made. We forget that those that are created in God's likeness image have been given the assignment to care for what he's made, not believe that it's fallen apart. Well, I run the risk of cancer because I'm now over 50 years old. Boy, that scares me to death. Do I look afraid? You know what? If we can start in one place, to be absent here is to be present with the Father. I take away the teeth of the enemy. There's no threat that can scare me anymore because I've already got goosebumps at this very minute thinking about being in the presence of the Father. And then I find out that I can walk right here in the cool of the day in his presence all the time. So, let's just figure how that cancer is going to get in through his presence. I just figure I deserve cancer as soon as God deserves cancer. Well, that was a void, I think. What was that? Don't you agree with me? The world's got you convinced that you deserve. It's all right for women to have breast cancer. Everybody's doing it. Well, if you will fall for it, the enemy will give you a cancer to die with. And if he hadn't figured one out yet, he'll come up with a new one. And I'm picking on cancer, but anything you want that's full of destruction, God is full of presence. Everything that he is, which includes healing. Number three, our assignment. As I rule and have dominion, I refuse to let death overtake me. And if a little bit gets on me, I must believe that he says, "Where are you, Stan? I didn't tell you to go that way. I told you, come on back over here." Because, see, he doesn't want to kill his image. He doesn't want to hurt his image, torture his image, and he surely doesn't want to see his image in hell. And he'll do everything he can to draw you back. He'll never take your will away, but he'll do he will make your life miserable. Praise God. Praise God. He won't let you loose. Five, he wants you to become one with him and become one with what I've given you. See, all of us want to become one with him, but we don't want to become one with what he has done for us. Because, see, dominion sometimes takes a growl. And Christians don't growl. Well, I thought we were supposed to put our foot on the neck of the enemy and just kind of squirm a little bit and say, "God, you like this?" Oh. I'm telling you, don't ever forget this. David proved what the will of God was. He cut off the head of the enemy and carried it around for 1 week and showed everybody, this is what God did. And all the Christians are going, "Oh, God wouldn't do that." You don't know my God. The Bible says Jesus defeated him openly, shamed him openly. How did he do that? He dumped all of our shame on him. You think you have a little shame? And the whole world's shame was dumped on him. That should cause you to snicker and go, "Ooh, the enemy's full of it." Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I'm not going to get this done tonight. Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Now let me remind you of something. The garden is the earth. Eden was a special place where God resided. Okay? This is what we're seeing created here. The Lord God planted a garden east in Eden. You understand? You've got a yard. You plant a garden. There's a garden in the yard. Okay. And there he put the man who he had formed. He put him in a special place. Where is that special place? Of total protection and provision. You've got to understand that this is the will of God. Please don't say, "Oh, it was the will of God for back then." You don't understand. That was before sin. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His will is still the same today as it was back then. And if we don't understand this, we're going to get beat up by every situation in the world. Because you'll never take dominion over a situation. You're special to God. He put you in a special place. And if you walk out of that, he'll spend the rest of your life trying to get you back in that special place. I am special. I don't know about y'all, but I'm special. Oh. Verse 9, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, what did he just say about good and evil? He said there wasn't any evil because there was only one standard, that was God. And if I say you're good, then there must be something else out here that I have to compare and show bad. Everything that he did for us, there wasn't any bad. And what he wanted to protect us from was even knowing about bad. The tree was good. It was a beautiful tree. There was nothing ugly or dangerous about this tree. What was dangerous about it was us finding out that there's bad. We never knew there was bad. We're not supposed to know about bad. What does that mean? Everything's good. Well, you don't know about that bad person. Oh, I know about good. God said it was good. He doesn't need my judgment call. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. "Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, to tend and keep it." Now, why were we placed in this area of protection? There's no bad to maintain good. You understand that? He made this earth perfect, and all we had to do was keep it perfect. Now, it just amazes me that mankind has found a way to mess up perfect. But they did, and all God wants us to do is come back to perfect. He put him in the garden and told him to keep it. He couldn't have told him to keep it unless they had the ability to keep it. And we had the ability because we had dominion over even anything that was suggested of bad, if we just chose good. And by the way, we still do that today. They don't have to be bad. We can choose to take dominion over bad and receive perfection and walk in that. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now to wise people, that's not a choice. You can argue till the world looks level that we have a choice, but when God says life or death, blessings or curses, there's no choice. They're stupid, but there's no choice. Well, we've all been stupid. That's what the Bible says. We might as well just accept that that was a very stupid thing, and let's get smart. Let's get the mind of Christ about things. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, let me step on a couple of toes here. King James says helpmeet. That's exactly what it says. You look at the definition, it means one that's worthy to serve. It doesn't mean a 50-50 partnership. You'll never find that in the Bible. That's a lie of the enemy. Unless you want to completely change the Bible, you can take that part out if you want. But I wouldn't do that because that walks out of the perfection of God. Remember what I told you, my wife is my wife because she says so. She submits to me because she decided, not because I said, you will submit. Oh, please. You know what you're going? You know what's going to happen? You tell me you will submit? We might wrestle. She might wrestle with me too if I do that. But the minute she says, because the Bible says so, I do, blessings come on her. She becomes very, very good in God's eyes. And now if he has to beat me up for her, he will. But I must keep the dominant position because I've been commanded to do so. I must be the head of my house as Adam was given the headship in the garden. And if I don't do that, I can't take care of the perfection that God has given me. You understand? Got to do it. I got to do it. Or she becomes vulnerable, just as the gardener became vulnerable. Watch this. Genesis 2:21-23. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, the literal definition is the side of man. He took a side of man and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22, and the side of man, or the rib which the Lord had taken from man, made he woman and brought her unto the man. Eden, God created a garden of perfection. He created a perfect man in his likeness and image and put him in the perfection of God and his presence. And then he created another perfection. Out of the perfection of man, he created a perfect woman. And he said, as I put you in the garden, I also give you this woman. Still have dominion, still rule against wrong. And I'm holding you charged. I'm holding you accountable, Adam. See, here's the part we don't like. When God gives us, there's a catch. When he talks to us, there's a catch. It's not a bad catch. Don't worry about the catch. Don't spend your time worrying about the catch. It's a good thing. God doesn't know how to do bad things, so it's a good thing. Watch this. Verse 23. Here's how things happen. Here's how people that have dominion make things happen. And Adam said, this is now. Did you understand that God didn't make it true? Adam made it true. I became her husband when she said so. Watch this. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man. Because she was taken out of man. This is a man with a womb. Womb man. He called her that. God didn't. He said, here's my gift to you. He said, whoa, that's good. Now you're mine. Nobody else is going to have you. I don't see anybody else, but nobody's going to have you. And he put a command on her. You are now one with me. You're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and you don't have any choice. Well, that's what dominion is. Y'all need to face up to understand what dominion is. You can't have dominion without being dominant. No more than you can get in the discipleship class and not be discipled. Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now why did he say that? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. What are you, ashamed of your flesh? What is there to be ashamed of? There's no wrong. How could there be shame? You sang about it. Trade my shame for the joy of the Lord. Man, they had it. They wouldn't trade anything. They were naked. You know what this also means? No thorns, no weather, no attack. Nothing could touch them. Man, you are naked when you don't even have a coat. You don't have skin. Thorns can't prick you. There's no thorns. Listen to this. There was nothing there to hurt them, chill them, or heat them. This is the perfection that God wants us back into, and eventually we have to enter into, and we still call it heaven. And yet we don't understand. We don't understand that the Bible tells us very plainly, it's appointed unto man wants to die. You're not talking about the physical death, because then he says, once you take me, you'll never see physical death. The Bible promises that you, as a child of God, will never see a physical death. That means you pass from this junk into to more perfection, and you won't even know it if you're in the presence of God. You'll just wake up one morning and you're in a better place. We shouldn't even fear death. There's no teaching that teaches us to try to stay alive. If I'm trying to stay alive right now by having dominion simply to please God. He's given me assignment. I'm her protector. I'm her provider. I'm a lesson to my children, to my grandchildren. I have a job to finish. And no enemy's going to steal me out of that job. Come on, we need to grit in our teeth once in a while. We need to learn to say to the enemy, you couldn't kill me. You can't. I told you I had that heart attack one time. And he'd come after me and come after me. He didn't get me the first time, so he just kept coming. I got so angry, I bought me a pair of running shoes. Do I look like a runner to you? And I started running. And every time he would attack, I'd say, and I'd go reach my shoes. And I remember every time as I would tie my shoestrings, I would say, if you think you can, go ahead. I say you can't. And I would run until my tongue drug. And my poor wife decided to run with me, and I nearly killed her. Because my mind was set to live and not die. And to prove to me and the enemy that he didn't have the keys to my life, our health, our death. He doesn't have it. Dominion means sometimes we have to prove what we have and what we don't have. Okay? We have the example. God the Father. Genesis, the layout. The teaching example of how we're supposed to live our life right now. I wish I could. I'm going to get the last one, but I have to take it up. I got to quit, don't I? Let me cover this one thing so you don't forget. I can't. It'll take me too long. I promised I wouldn't do this, and I keep my promise. So I'm going to go right to the back, and then I'll cover it again next time. I'm going to read you one scripture. Let's jump to Genesis 3:24. I'll come back and start here next time. Because you got to catch the two next things I got to tell you. Not one, but two. And I don't have time. Genesis 3:24. Got it? I want you to look at this through the eyes of God. Because the only way you're going to understand this, I never could understand this scripture. The Holy Spirit refuses to let me understand things that I'm going to understand wrong. And it causes a question and it causes a void. And I search and I search and I search until one day he says, let me explain it to you. He's good about that. Ah, man, it's fun. It's fun. It's like an eternal Easter egg hunt. And I'm the little kid. Genesis 3:24. The man sins, you know that. I don't want to lose this tonight. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim. What's cherubim? I haven't read you this scripture yet, but one of the scriptures that I'm going to read you later talks about the angels of his presence. Refers to very clearly. The angels of his presence. Cherubim. At the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Why did they have to leave the garden? They had tasted of bad fruit. They were fixing to mess things up. When you had bad fruit, you mess things up. They had tasted of bad fruit. You're out. Because I don't want this perfection polluted. But most people teach you that's forever, and it's not. Man, look at this. Look at this. He placed cherubims. He placed the Holy Spirit, and he placed the Word. Turning every way to the tree of life. You understand that's what preachers do every Sunday? They try to turn your way back to the tree of life. The literal definition of a pastor is angel. That angel is put there. The Holy Spirit comes. He teaches the Word to point you back to the tree of life. He doesn't want us out. He wants us in. Y'all just have to study that for a while until God reveals it to you. The whole reason I want to talk about this tonight, the whole reason he gets up here and runs the things that he does, don't read me and read the sky, is to get you back to the tree of life. See, God will put a call on a man like this or a man like me. We don't know what it's about. We spend the rest of our life trying to figure out why we're doing this. But Genesis tells you it's because the cherubims, the Holy Spirit, the Word, is trying to point us back. God is saying, where are you? I'll get that scripture next time. Where are you? I was afraid. No. I didn't ask you what your mental state was. I asked you where you are. I know what your mental state is. You're screwed up. You screwed up, so your mental state is screwed up. You know where I'm at? Come. Come on, I'm not coming out there to the screwed up state. You come on in here where I'm at. I'm not going to meet you where you're at. You meet me where I'm at. So who's talking to you? The Holy Spirit's talking to you. The flame. Come on. Man, come on. God's sitting right over here. His presence is here. Come on. Come on, man. I'm going to lead you back to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden where we can fellowship all day long in the cool of the day. And it doesn't make any difference what bad is out there. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Nothing will come nigh your dwelling. You have blood on the... Man, you've got a lot better contract than Adam did. You've got Jesus. Of course, he didn't need Jesus. He had the Trinity. Boom, right there. If I convinced you of anything tonight, y'all are just, I've either really messed you up or I've given you some heavy stuff to think about. One or two, because you're going, y'all are still looking at the blank wall. There's nothing written up there. Can I promise you one thing? Trust me on something. I'm telling you the truth. I don't have a thing. I don't want a thing you got. I want you to get what you don't have, but not from me. I want to point you to the tree of life. A number of long time ago, when I had really screwed up my life big time, the Holy Spirit, the flame, the cherubims, they're coming after me. Why? Because something my mom and dad did early on. I didn't know what it's about. Leave me alone, God. I'm doing my own thing. It's called getting too big for your britches. And I don't even know why. And the one time I started crying out to God, and in one service, right over there on that wall, I saw the face of Jesus. Now, I didn't say I wasn't saved. I was saved. See, we don't understand the difference between saved and safe. There's a difference. I didn't really want any more, but I still wanted more, if that makes any sense to you. Right there, I saw him. He didn't say a thing. He didn't do anything. But I can promise you, my whole world changed instantly. And I don't have one explanation for you, except please look for him. He's coming. Amen. And I spent, I don't know how long, the next how many years, I don't even care, doing some of the dumbest things you ever saw. Sitting out under trees, reading the Bible, studying, asking God, what does this mean? What does this mean? Opening up the book of Genesis and actually looking up every word in the book. I have three notebooks full of definitions, the book of Genesis, because I want to know where I'm supposed to be. And when I found out, I thought, great, now we've gone through this. And he said, no, now you got to tell somebody. Well, how are you going to do that, God? I'm going to sit on the side of the mountain alone. And he said, I'm going to give you a church. And it wasn't but a few weeks later. Here comes a pastor with a good going church. And he says, God told me to give you this church. I said, I don't want a church. But God told me you were going to do it. So what choice do I have? I fought that and I fought that. One day my brother came to me and he said, Stan, you've got the Bible study, man. You got everybody that shows up and will talk to you. You'll talk about God. Why are you afraid of being a pastor? You've been that for years. And all of a sudden, a little light went off. I guess I don't have a choice. Do you understand what God, the perfection that God has for you? You just need to accept it. And you watch Him do something with you that's never been done before. The best thing He can do for you is give you revelation and understanding. If you don't ever ask for anything, ask for revelation and understanding. The rest of it will fall in place. He'll give you eyes to see. He'll give you ears to hear. You begin to understand He guides your path. You don't have to worry about where you're going. You don't have to even worry about where you've been. And you don't have to worry about your screw-ups because He's saying, come on back in here. Come on back. And we know where the North Pole is and we know where the South Pole is, but it's very hard to find out where the East and West meets. And He promised to separate us from our sins and He forgets them and He removes them as far as the East is from the West. Now you need to find out where East and West meets because that's where your sin is at. Either that or you need to go to the deepest part of the ocean and decide that's where it is. So if you get there, maybe you can find them. Other than that, come on in. Come on in. God is good. His presence is good all the time. Amen? All hearts clear? Because the Holy Spirit's calling. And you surely don't have to come down here to get it straight. All you got to do is cry out and you'll find yourself in a place you've never been before. It's good. Relax. Be safe. One more time. All hearts clear? All right. And let's seal this word. All right, Father. Thank you. Let your word be proven with signs following. And I don't care what signs. The sign I want to see in these people is they get stronger in you. They get healthier in you. And their persona, their personality, their belief system draws others into the kingdom. That's the signs and wonders I want to see. I know that's what you want. So in agreement, you and I, we agree that your word will never fall void in this place. It has hit the heart exactly where it needs to hit. It has accomplished exactly what you wanted accomplished. We are now set free, and that freedom will follow us. And when we're trying to partake of the knowledge of evil, the truth will draw us back and set us free once again. Praise you, Lord. Those things that look impossible, they don't even exist in the presence of God. Teach us to reside there, Lord. Teach us to speak of these things. Teach us to think only on the perfection that God has in me and is working out in me. And thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. If that's the desire of your heart, then as you go tonight in the presence of God, you promise to do what He says, and you will agree with this prayer by openly saying amen. Amen. Bless you.